5th, March 20th, 1938. Love the vices of the creature who lives in the divine will. Example of a teacher who possesses the sciences but does not find anyone to whom to teach them. Or of a rich man who does not find anyone to whom to give his riches. I am in the arms of the fiat, which loves so much its beloved creature who lives in it, that it holds her always tightly in its arms. Even more, its love is such that it places her inside its incessant motion. The tiniest distances, or the gaps of an instant, in which it doesn't feel her with itself, in its own life, would be for it the most painful martyrdom of love. And in its sorrow, it would say to her, "Daughter, don't move away from me, even for one single instant. You would embitter my love, because we feel your life as our own. Therefore, we would feel our love being torn and tortured. In fact, you must know that for the creature who lives in our will, her breath lives and breathes within our breathing. And as she breathes, we feel ourselves being loved, and we love her. Her motion moves within ours, lives our same life, operates with us, speaks with our same word. We feel her circulate inside our divine being, like the blood that circulates inside the veins of the creatures. And she says and repeats always, 'I love you, I love you.' Not yet satisfied, she takes off in flight. She goes around through all created things. She gathers our love spread in all creation, and comes to take refuge inside our Supreme Being. And she surprises us by bringing us all the love that all created things should give us, if they had reason. She keeps finding ever new devices in order to love us. Other times, she goes to her mother and queen and asks her for all her love, and she surprises us by bringing us redoubled the love of the great lady. Then, celebrating, she says to us, 'I bring you the love of my celestial mama in order to love you.' And oh, how pleased we feel. It is impossible for us to be without the one who lives in our volition. O divine will, how much love and power you contain for those who live in you. And I felt so amazed that I didn't know how to continue on speaking. And my beloved Jesus, repeating his short little visit with unspeakable love, told me, 'My daughter, born and reborn in our will, you must know that the living in our will contains such prodigies and unheard of marvels that the very heavens are shaken and reverently lower themselves in hearing them. In fact, in this creature, we can carry out our creative work. We can deposit our love, our delirium, our longing and sighs, our will. She will make others comprehend our Supreme Majesty. She will make us loved with our own love. Without this creature, we would find ourselves as a teacher who possesses all the sciences. He could give his lessons in all universities and all schools, but no, he can't even find one pupil to whom to teach his sciences. What sorrow for this teacher, possessing so many sciences and having to keep them unused within himself, without being able to make known the value of the sciences he possesses. Oh, if this teacher could only find even just one pupil who wanted to learn his sciences, he would place him on his knees and keeping with himself night and day. He would feel that his science will not die, but will live in his pupil, almost so as to duplicate his own life. Oh, how much she would love him. He would feel reborn in his pupil, his loneliness being broken. He would feel loved by the one to whom he imparts his lessons. Therefore, his life would change from bitterness into joys. Such is our Supreme Being. If we don't find someone who lives in our divine will, we are like that teacher. We have nobody to whom to impart our lessons. We possess infinite sciences, and yet we have no one to whom to say a word, because the light of our will is missing, which would make him comprehend what we want to teach him. On the other hand, if the creature lives in our will, we feel our life being repeated in her. We can teach her our divine sciences. Even more, they will turn into lives in her. She will understand perfectly our celestial dialect. She will love us as we want her to love us. And here is our lot and hers being changed. Loneliness will no longer exist. Company will be perennial. We will always have something to say, and someone who listens to us. Our eternal sorrow will turn into joys and feasts, because we will have the creature living in our will. Or, when we do not find anyone who lives in our will, it happens to us as to someone who possesses immense riches, but so many as to feel as though suffocated by them. And yet, he finds no one to whom to give, nor anyone who takes his goods. Poor him. He is so unhappy among his riches, and suffers a cruel loneliness. There's nobody who would love him, who would respect him, or say to him even just a thank you. On the contrary, it seems that all shun him, because he finds no one to whom to give his riches, nor anyone who would take them. Without company, joy dies. And because he is unable to give them to anyone, he feels that his goods, his life, do not live inside others. Isolation is the greatest of bitternesses. Oh, how many times we want to give, but we have no one to whom to give. Even more, by not living in our will, the creature closes the doors on us. She impedes our entrance, or rather, she puts herself at a distance from us, surrounding herself with miseries, with weaknesses, with passions, the ugliest ones. This is why the living in our will arouses amazement in everyone, and we ourselves remain amazed, having to enclose the infinite in the finite, immensity within the littleness. We have to make such wonders and prodigies that only our love, ruling over our divine being, can move us to make the most astounding marvels, but such that even the angels and the saints remain astonished and mute in awe.